The sermon today for Pentecost Sunday is primarily based on the gospel reading that we just had from John 7. And Jesus cried out to the crowds that whoever thirsts should come to him and drink. Then he said, "Whoever believes in me." And he made some statements, gave some teachings there, and some prophecies there. We'll think about that this morning. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit upon your church. We ask you to open our minds and hearts to your word so that we may understand your instructions and receive your promises with faith. These things we bring to you in your name. Amen. Whoever believes in me, Jesus said. This is the defining point. The definition of Christianity is one who believes in Jesus Christ as the Savior, as the Christ, that promised one, and believes that Jesus is truly God and truly man, not just a good prophet, not just a wonderful man and teacher, but God and man in one person. When we go about our nation, our communities, you can see many things that look like a church. That building really looks like a church. I wonder if that's a church. That building, sometimes you know it, that building looks like it used to be a church. Sometimes there's even homes that are made up of older church buildings. And boy, that sure looks like it was a church, and it was. We kind of recognize church-looking buildings and things. We can say that, but in truth, the church is just as Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me." That is the church. Those groups of people who are the church may have buildings or properties or other things, but the church is the people who believe in Jesus Christ. Isn't it something that Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said," over and over and over again, Jesus quotes the scripture. It's just through and through the Gospels. We know that the Holy Spirit inspired the prophets to give God's word. And Jesus took it as God's word to be fulfilled in his ministry and in the work of the church. And Jesus showed us that to be his followers is to do as he does, and that is one of the things, is to depend on the word of God, Old Testament and New Testament. You might say that not only is the scripture a guide, but it's our dictionary. Because it tells us the meaning, what is good, what is bad, what is of God, what is not of God, what is sin. Not every little thing is going to be in Scripture, every little question, but the underlying teachings and beliefs that every question should have, that every answer will think about, is in Scripture. It is there. And we as Christians, being followers of Jesus, will treat and understand God's word from the apostles and from the prophets as his word, as defining for our life, guiding our life. He constantly taught from the scriptures. I have a passage here from Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not a iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The scribes and the Pharisees thought they followed God's word, but they did not. And he says, you have to do more than the scribes and the Pharisees. Even the little dots of the Hebrew letters remain until heaven and earth are even passed away. He says, these will remain. The word of God will remain. And he taught this clearly. And he wanted his followers to know that if he has fulfilled them, and they're so important to him as the Son of God, then of course, everything that is written there for us, we also hold precious and use in our lives. Jesus said then, out of his heart, about the ones who believe in him, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And then it said, now this he said about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were about to receive. So when Jesus said this, Pentecost hadn't come yet, but John is writing in his gospel afterwards, recording the gospel. He says, now when Jesus said this, Pentecost, he doesn't use the word Pentecost, but the Spirit hadn't come yet. Pentecost isn't there yet. But Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is going to come. There would be this living water in his people. When you think about that living water, that Holy Spirit in people's lives, what does that look like? We can look in a number of places in Scripture. We can look at the gifts of the Spirit, which are noted in several places, especially like 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But one thing about the gifts of the Spirit is they're given out as the Spirit wishes, as it blesses the church. So it's not always everyone gets everything all the same. So, but where is this? Where can you recognize the Spirit constantly, always? One place to think about and to learn is from, not as it says in the handout, Matthew, but Galatians chapter 5, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is what grows up in every Christian, what comes forth in every Christian life. Paul wrote, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. There's a huge sermon right there. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If we are Christians and we say we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit directs and strengthens our life to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, if that is true, if we live in the Spirit, then we keep in step with the Spirit. And as the Spirit has love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, as the Spirit has those, that is how we step. We step with the Spirit. We cannot say, oh, I have the Holy Spirit, I love Jesus Christ, and then we just walk this way that has nothing to do with the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, it's the opposite. And if you look at the context, Paul says, what is opposite? But rather, if we have the Spirit, Paul says, this is what your steps are going to look like. The Holy Spirit was given when Jesus had accomplished everything that he had come to do. John says this Holy Spirit had not come yet because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Spirit comes because of what Jesus has done and is doing. Jesus has had to accomplish a mission for which he came before he would send his Spirit. Now think about this. The link to what Jesus has done and is doing for us and Him sending the Spirit, then what would the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us do? Would the Holy Spirit in us say, okay, now you are holy with the Holy Spirit, now you just look at yourself and look at your own works and look at your own life? That's not how it works. The Holy Spirit comes because of what Jesus did and does. And so the Holy Spirit says, look back to Christ. Look back to His teachings. Look back what He's doing for you even now. Jesus said that it is the Father in the name of Him, Jesus, who is in charge of sending the Holy Spirit. This is a gift from our Heavenly Father. It's clear. Jesus said, as recorded in John 14, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit guides us back into the words of Jesus and into the teachings of Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit says, you have Christ. He is your master. He is your leader. He is your brother. He is the one who's died for you. Be His disciple and follow Him. What are the steps of Jesus? Walk in those ways. Bear that fruit. And it's the Holy Spirit, too, that when we get out of line, every day, may I say, and we sin, the Holy Spirit says, no, come back. Come back. And sometimes, as St. Paul says, there's an absolute struggle in ourselves, Romans chapter 7. I know what God wants me to do, but sometimes the sin in me is trying to do this, and there's this battle inside of me, and the Holy Spirit is saying, no, come back on God's way, God's path, in the name of Jesus Christ. Look to Him. The Holy Spirit wants us to look to Christ because the Holy Spirit knows that if we have our attention only on ourselves, we are going to get depressed, and we're going to see ourselves apart from God, and we are going to see how awful we are. And the Holy Spirit says, yes, you are a sinner, but look to Christ. Look to Christ. He is the one who is your holiness. He is the one who has paid for all your sins. He is the one who's taken everything away. Look to Christ. And the Holy Spirit nudges us and says, and also tell others about Christ. That's what they need to know about. The others, that other person knows they're in trouble. They know things are lousy. They know they're not a good person. They need to hear about Christ because that's what you need to know too. They were really surprised that day in Pentecost that they would say that message in all these different languages to all the Jews from the festival, for the festival of the Pentecost, all gathered there from their mother tongues, from all around. But the Holy Spirit brings the same to any language, any situation, any culture, brings Christ. And we need Him. And we will survive through this life because of this gift of the Holy Spirit. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for sending the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And we ask you that you would open our minds and hearts to the Spirit as He works through your word, so that we understand your word, so that we remember it, so that we obey it, so that we are guided by it. And when we disobey, guide us quickly by your Holy Spirit to repent and receive forgiveness again. This good way of living, this way of living into eternal life, help us remain on this path all the days of our life, and also bear witness to others that this is the good path. To be your son and daughter in the name of Jesus, bearing your Spirit. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.